Good evening, one and all.
Hi, everybody.
Hiya.
How are you doing? How is everyone?
Yeah, not so bad. Sun shining, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes. Stephen can't be with us in the Zoom chat, can he? So,
he's not on top form. Not on top form today, but but he's done an amazing interview, hasn't he, for the show this week?
It's Caden Gray, isn't it? He's a sex worker that has done some couple of videos. Have a chat about that. A bit controversial, yep. I think, but I think it's...
Well, we're on the HIV hour, which we do talk about stuff that some other people don't talk about, and that's what makes us so different and intriguing to tune into.
And
yes, exactly. Absolutely. So how have you been? How have you been, Tony?
Been all right. I had a couple of weeks off and, had to sort some stuff out, but it's all good now.
Good.
Just, cooking on gas.
Good.
Cooking on gas, yes. That's where to be.
Cooking on electric. cooking on gas. I spoke to Gary this week. So we've got good thing with him this week. And
that's Gary Podgeter, is it?
Gary from Lunch Positive. Gary from Lunch Positive. Yeah, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Did the hub yesterday in the sunshine, outside with people, real people.
Lovely.
Oh, it's good.
Just make a difference, doesn't it?
And you, Sue, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I don't know whether we've got any sort of Oscar fans on the show today or listening in. But, you know, everything's been online and I sort of tuned in. This is quite interesting, actually. I tuned in to some of the virtual party. Now, obviously, we all know who Elton John is and we all know about the AIDS Foundation. Well, he had a massive pre-Oscar party and he raised just over £2 million for the his AIDS Foundation. And what was so intriguing, and there's quite a lot of pictures if you go on to the because it's all online, a lot of the cast from The Sin attended.
Oh, great.
Was amazing. And he done a fantastic duet with Dua Lipa. That lovely, Dua Lipa, I love saying that. But and also Ollie Alexander was on there. But the great thing is he raised, still in these times, over £2 million for the AIDS Foundation. So, yeah.
Which is great. And Pose has got a new series, Pose, which is on Channel 4. Is on Channel 4?
Sure because I know when I watched it, I watched it all on Netflix, but I'm sure it comes from somewhere first before it goes there. And do you know anything about that, Tony?
Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah, it's really good. I enjoyed it. It's all about the ballroom scene in New York and stuff. So, yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the HIV Hour. Today, I have a guest on the show, and this person is somebody that I know and that you might know as well. But I felt the best way of introducing him was to let him introduce himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Caden Gray.
Hi. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I am a sex worker, a porn actor, a porn performer, and for the last 4 years I've been working in... I've been doing activism around HIV, sexual and mental well-being, queer activism.
Yep. So, Caden, you have recently released you've released two new films... called UEFU. Now, for the sake of the timing that this is going out and everything, we can't actually say what that stands for at the moment. But Caden, can you tell us a bit about the two films, UEFU Part 1 and Part 2?
Absolutely. And like you said, this is one film. It's just divided into two parts. Although we won't be saying the full title here, for reasons you might discover when you do come into contact with it, it does have U equals U as part of the name.
Yeah.
Of course, it's very heavily very heavily focused on the phenomenon of U equals U. I wanted to make this because I've been living with HIV for a long time, well, 8 years, 7 years mm-hmm. and a bit. And I've been working in sex work, which really highlighted to me the hypocrisy of, you know, certain actions and how we in general are perceiving sexual well-being and people living with HIV, which I've learned to know that, I mean, I've learned that is nothing like what I used to think, nothing like most people imagine.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to basically rub U equals U in people's faces, in a sense, to force them to look at it. But I did that by having sex with a performer who's not on PrEP. We discussed this extensively and he agreed to come off PrEP so that U equals U, or me being on antiretroviral treatment and HIV positive, was the only protection tool used in the film.
Yeah. So to not give too much of the plot away, the two films, one is you having sex with a condom and one is you having sex without a condom, and it's just it's the different scenarios and how the performer that you are working with copes with you know those different scenarios, isn't it?
So the performer is the amazing Bishop Black, who is starring in this alongside me, and the feature from Bianca Del Rio, I wanted to. This was going to be one, I mean, this is one story, but there are two scenarios that play out based on the different level of awareness that the character Bishop plays, whose name is also Bishop, in the film. And the first encounter is he is, you know, he keeps asking me if I'm clean. I think that's a very good measurement of how aware or not aware you are of sexual well-being.
Yeah.
So in that scenario, we do have a condom, and there is a malfunction, which happens a lot with condoms. And I think at this point, it's important to say that this is why a lot of people should reconsider looking at condoms as the center of HIV prevention or any sexual well-being prevention, and instead of part of a larger tool of a few effective tools, right?
Yeah.
And when that happens, obviously, drama unfolds, which leads to a climax, which is splendidly and hilariously delivered by the megastar Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah, yeah. So
and then in the second one, go on.
No, carry on, Ken. Carry on, sorry.
So yeah, and this one, the first one is called Dirty with a question mark because of this question. Are you clean?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second part, which the title I will not be saying, the second part, I want it to be a lighthearted, bright celebration of having sex regardless of status. And kind of, I wanted to challenge the misconception that if you're living with HIV, first of all, you shouldn't be having sex, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, you should always be worried about transmitting, and you should always feel ashamed that you've got this.
Yeah.
All of these things. I wanted it to be unapologetic, explicit. And it is my first condomless scene ever that I did intentionally condomless. The condomless sex isn't an accident. It is a celebration.
Yeah,
of equal opportunity.
And I suppose that leads on to my next question for you, Caden, is obviously you and I have worked on projects together in the past, and it's been about living well with HIV, as we both do. But why now? Why is this now become an important thing for you to do?
I think this would have always been an important thing to do, but I wasn't ready, and I think I needed to process my own. I needed to believe U equals U, because given the stigma around HIV for a while, when I was diagnosed with HIV, I had this disbelief that what if this doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's an AIDS related, you know, old 40 years old bias, and so I think I just ripened. I had insufficient experience. Also, there have been people who have done similar things before me, like the Porn for Prep film with Jason Domino did.
Yeah.
And so I think like I needed all these boxes ticked so that I can start thinking how I can incorporate these messages into porn work, which I didn't used to think was possible. I kind of did these separately.
Yeah.
Very much realizing that the porn gets so much more attention than the activism I did. So I wanted to, I wanted some of that porn attention on these issues.
Yeah, it's...
So, I mean, now's a good or a bad time as any, I suppose.
This, yeah.
I wish this had happened 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's important, though, isn't it, for you to be at that point where you're ready, you know, and...
Absolutely.
I agree completely. So, Caden, there's going to be people that are getting on the soapboxes and going, but if you're not wearing a condom, you're not being safe. And obviously, we're both very aware of other STIs that you can get when you don't use condoms. But can you tell me how you're kind of explaining that and working around that?
So first of all, I think it's important to say that condoms protect from certain STIs, so they're a great protector from HIV, provided that they're on and that they are that they don't break.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also protect from hepatitis C, hepatitis B. But when it comes to things like Hep A, for example,
yeah,
which you can get very easily from rooming, or syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, which you can get from heavy petting and and kissing and rooming and sucking, which we do without a condom.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention herpes and HPV,
yeah,
for which condoms are pretty much obsolete because it's a skin-to-skin condition. It's unless you're vaccinated for HPV, it's an inevitability of being a human being.
Yeah.
So we sold this lie that condoms solve the problem, but if you insist that not wearing a condom is unprotected because you're not protected from certain STIs, wearing a condom is also unprotected. And I mean, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
And there are other tools which can fully protect you from STIs that condoms cannot protect you on, even if they do stay on and don't break. Like, for example, HPV. You can get an HPV vaccine or hepatitis B or hepatitis A vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, you can take PrEP.
Yeah,
which is a pill you take, for anyone who doesn't know, you take if you're HIV negative to prevent transmission. And this has saved so many people from becoming HIV positive. Also, if you've been exposed and you realize in the first 3 days that you were at risk of contracting HIV because you're HIV negative and not on PrEP, you can go on PEP.
PEP, yeah.
Which also has a really high effectiveness rate. And then, of course, not to mention U equals U, which is the mother of HIV prevention, the very origin of PrEP and PEP. And it's the very tool that makes it impossible for anyone to transmit HIV. So I feel like I understand why people are so set on condoms, and I'm not saying do not wear condoms. No, but treat them as a, look at other tools, treat them as part of a larger toolbox for your own sake and the sake of other people's. Yeah,
that all makes sense, definitely. And I think it's looking at other options, isn't it? You know, it's
absolutely.
I think we were drummed into this this way of thinking that condoms was the only way to be safe, but there are so many other ways to be safe now, aren't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the conversation also is a lot about more than just prevention, you know, because the fact that that people are so set on condoms has little to do with the fact that condoms are effective.
Yeah.
But it has everything to do with the fact that, you know, we're gay, or some of us, we're queer. And a lot of people see, including us, condomless gay sex as something that we should never dare do because of the AIDS epidemic and how hard it hit us.
Yeah.
And there's lots of this homophobia tied into the conversation. So we are pointing fingers around the community to be like, you're a slut,
yeah.
You know? and not allowing other people to pursue pleasure and express themselves and so on without judgment.
So Caden, it's both of those films, and it's great to see that you're back doing YouTube again. Caden Unwrapped is Caden back on YouTube, and which is great. So where can people find the UEFU film and find you, and you know what, you know, where are you?
Can I just quickly interject? Caden Unwrapped, I'm really happy to be on Facebook, and thank you. But the Facebook part is only a part of the thing. What I did with Caden Unwrapped, it's my first condomless series, which is available on my OnlyFans and Just For Fans. But because I didn't want people to have to... Basically, I wanted to make sure that if I'm doing condomless sex, I'm also talking to people about what other tools they can use if they're not going to use a condom. Because I know that... Even if I was doing condom porn, a lot of people would do that anyway. So I just wanted the conversation to happen alongside, but I didn't want people to have to pay for it. And so I put that educational bit on YouTube, and I'm going to do that with every episode.
Okay.
And that you can watch on my YouTube. There is a link to that and the UEFU film, both parts, on my Instagram and Twitter in the bio. And also just pay attention to whether you're watching, which one you're watching, because there's the not safe for work version and the censored one.
Yeah. So that's all, you know, Caden's very easy to find. He's out there, you know, he's all over the place. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, Caden, obviously.
If I'm not coming up on Instagram or Twitter, it's because of shadow banning of sex workers, which is quite prolific. So just Google me, Caden Gray Instagram or Caden Gray Twitter.
Yeah. So just quickly to finish off, Caden, there's you touched on it just as you were talking about the film. Are You Clean is something that is said by Bishop in the film in one of the scenarios, and it's an amazingly hurtful and ignorant comment, isn't it? You know, but it was great to see it in the film, because I think people do still ask that horrible question. And again, why was it important to have those words in the film?
Because I think it's a very subtle issue, which you don't realize is an issue until you are living with a long-term STI, like HIV, like HPV, like any strain of herpes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people never realize that they do, because most people don't break out with HPV or herpes, so they think they don't carry it. But some modern estimates say that almost all sexually active adults have at least one strain of herpes and potentially HPV, right? So we're all kind of in this together. It's an inevitability, but people talk about it in a way that, first of all, makes people uncomfortable, but also doesn't just... It's not a question of sexual health status. It's a question of moral superiority. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not realize it, but the subliminal message is, are you clean or are you dirty?
Yeah.
It's a preference, isn't it?
It is, Caden.
Yeah.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your films and about what you're doing and how you are trying to change the way that people see HIV.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure.
And just
talking to you as well.
Just educating. Yeah. You know, and just educating, isn't it, Caden? It's just important to educate people and make people see that we are no different. So thank you, Caden, and I will see you later.
Yes, you will.
So that was an very interesting interview with Stephen, wasn't it, and Caden?
Yes, very, very. No, and I think I believe a lot of our listeners will think, wow, yes, we're excelling ourselves on the HIV hour, as usual.
Yes.
As usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've got stories too, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, this is a bit of it. Perhaps a question for all of our listeners, really, and this story... has sort of come from Australia, across the pond, well, many miles across the pond.
Yeah.
And it's a report by AIDS Map via Australia. And the caption is, bisexual men feel more HIV stigma and are more, may feel more lonelier and more socially isolated than gay men. Now, they've reported less social support and fewer connections to the LGBTQ community to other people living with HIV. Now, they say most HIV research tends to be in groups of all MSM, that's men who have sex with men, together, and does not differentiate between gay and bisexual men. So the reports they're doing are together, so they're not sort of saying, you know, the report on bisexual men and the report on gay men. So I just wondered, I mean, that these are some of the stats that are coming out of Australia. So I'm just thinking, coming back to the UK, perhaps coming back to Brighton, do you think that there is, do you feel there's more stigma in the bi community associated, you know, with social isolation, living with HIV, than gay men living with HIV? What do you think, guys? I just really wanted to ask that question. And if there is, why? Why do you think there is?
it's a tough question, isn't it? It's a very tough question to think about. Because you don't define yourself as gay or heterosexual.
I think also, is it maybe the general consensus over in Australia? I mean, I was in Australia 10 years ago with my ex-partner, and we went over for Mardi Gras. And literally it was, I mean, I'm not generalizing here, but it was like the Queens. And then it was like, you see all these, I don't know, it seemed very, well, that seems very open with like, was it Priscilla and all that? But I don't think it really is.
Something else.
What do you think,
Sue? No, I mean, something else I read in the report in Australia, apparently some see bisexual men the culprits, and this is what I've read, it's not what I'm thinking or feeling, but some see bisexual men being the culprits, as one would say, on passing HIV onto women. Perhaps that in itself is calling that social stigma. So
that's not fair, is it?
No.
Why not our listeners give us a message in on our email address or Twitter or Instagram or even via our Facebook, and do topic of the week with the Australia thing, and then just why not send in their comments?
It'd be good to hear from someone who goes through that, who's bisexual and maybe has faced stigma. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you probably heard this, and I've heard these comments, you know, around, not just in Brighton, not just around the UK, but, oh, bisexual people are greedy. They can't make up their mind. You've heard that? Yeah. Yes. Oh, you know, they want it all, you know, not my opinion. Absolutely not. But and these comments and these sort of stuff, these stigmatizing comments may resonate on perhaps people from the bi community that feel sometimes they feel isolated or socially isolated and feel different about living with HIV and the stigma. So it'd be great to get some comments in, wouldn't it, guys?
I think so. I think having somebody in as well who's gone through that and experienced that kind of stigma. Mm. Would be great. So do get in touch.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
So have you we talked about Pose at the beginning of the show. Have you seen Pose at all? Any of you?
I've seen the two series, and someone got me onto it. I'd sort of seen this thing coming on. Oh, it was a couple of years ago, and then I sat down. I think I spent a whole weekend watching all of it, and I couldn't turn my telly off.
You binged. How about you, Tony? You said you've watched.
I love it. I think it's a shame this is the last series because they're doing three only. It's a shame that it's finishing because I think it shows in the beginning like how hard it was for trans girls in New York and sex workers in New York and you know, how hard it was, how the AIDS crisis affected people. And I think it was quite really hard hitting, and it was quite jarring. But you have the funny side of them, like, you know, doing the ballroom and all that, and nicking loads of things from a museum and stuff. So I found it really interesting and really, I don't know, insightful, really.
Mm. It's an education, isn't it? And just reminding people, like with It's a Sin, it's good in that way, isn't it? Definitely. Yeah. And I think to bring humour into anything is always a good thing, because we can get very serious about stuff, and I think you need to have a sense of humour, don't you, with everything, everything in life.
You're right about that, because you can still get messages from humour. You can still remember. Yes. You can still remember things in humour as well as something serious. So, and I think it's good to sort of, you know, which you know, the Pose has done, from what I've seen, that brings sort of things to the forefront that are sad, horrific, historic. But the humour, you're right, Tony, that humour. And I believe then the next show is going to be maybe even more so updated to what has been, to bring it a bit more up to date now.
Yeah, I think it's needed, isn't it? I think with everything going on today and everything that's gone on in the last year, I think it sort of brings the forefront that, you know, we have got through something before and we're still going through it. And I think it's just... I think it's just needed.
Mm. Yeah, I do absolutely. When does it start? Do you know? When's the series start?
May something. I think it's May the 20th. I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Something to look forward to. I conferred
with our furry friend. Radio Reverb. Hello, I'm Marek. I'm one of the health promotion workers at THT. I'm here to let you know that the clinic is open again. Our testing service at the clinic is for men who have sex with men, anyone from the LGBTQ plus community, trans or non-binary, Black African community, BME community, male and female sex workers, and for women who have sex with women. So THT, we do a rapid HIV and syphilis test. Results are given within 10 minutes. We offer self-taking three-site swab testing for chlamydia and gonorrhea, and we send those to the clinic and you'll get those results within about 10 days. We are open now Monday to Friday between 10:30 and 4:30. We perhaps will be doing evening clinics, but at the moment we're just open Monday to Friday 10 till 4:30. We were a walk-in clinic, but given the situation at the moment, we are currently open by appointment only. So if you ring 01273 764200, we can book you in an appointment. We will ask you some relevant COVID-related questions, and you will be asked to be wearing your mask throughout the whole consultation.
That's great. Thank you very much. Thanks, Marek.
No problem.
Hey guys, it's Tony from Radio Reverb, the HIV Hour, and I'm here with Gary Pudgeter from Lunch Positive. How you doing today, Gary? How you getting
on? I'm doing great, thanks, Tony. Hope you too.
Yes. I just want to have just to catch up with you, because things are now changing and easing a little bit. So I've just got a few questions and sort of see how Lunch Positive are going to be facing with the new openings up and stuff. Is that okay?
That's brilliant, yeah.
Awesome.
You.
So, can you, for the people that don't know who Lunch Positive are, can you just, what's the charity all about?
Okay, so Lunch Positive's a charity that's based in Brighton, and we support people in Brighton, Hove, and East and West Sussex.
Okay.
And we formed, actually, this 12 years ago, so it's our 12th anniversary this June.
Awesome.
Yeah, and really, the basis of our work is about bringing people together for peer support, friendship, sharing food, and we kind of hope to, you know, address kind of a wide range of issues and disadvantages that people with HIV might face, all done through volunteers and the support of other HIV people themselves.
Yeah, it's just an amazing service, it really is. So, with that in mind, what have you been doing since COVID emerged last year? Like, we're, 13 months into it now, 14 months? So,
yeah, well, obviously... Yeah, I mean, since March last year, we paused the lunch club, you know, immediately the national lockdowns came in. But we were keen to keep supporting the community in kind of new ways. Mm-hmm. So immediately we adapted all of our services to provide the delivery of cooked food and groceries to people at home who were shielded or self-isolating or unwell or otherwise not able to easily access food.
Yeah.
And we did that throughout the year. We can still continue to do that now to some degree. That's in Brighton and Hove and also with the folks over in Worthing. So far we've produced over 33,000 meals.
Blooming hell, that's a lot.
I know, that's a lot of cooking. We're just reflecting on that the other day. So that's a real achievement. So we've been preparing and delivering food for people.
But that is like you're getting some of the food donated. Obviously, you have like funding for some of it. But that's a monumental task, isn't it? Like 33,000 meals.
Absolutely is. I mean, we've turned all of our operations the last year into community cookery and community food support. And all through the input of volunteers. So that's been a major achievement and really enjoyable along the way. It's been great to be able to help in new ways where there's a need, you know.
Totally. You carry on.
And also we've been providing other forms of outreach. So we've been making telephone companion and befriending calls with people on a regular basis. Group of volunteers have been doing that every week. And that kind of involves catching up with people, checking in, sometimes dealing with some quite profound emotional issues, loneliness, you know, isolation, also sharing advice and information.
Sure.
And as the year kind of progressed, you know, with the differing phases of COVID and what we were all allowed to do in terms of being with other people, we've also run some peer support groups, face-to-face work at Dorset Gardens Methodist Church, where we're based.
Yep.
And more recently, we've had occasion where we've been able to open the doors for shared meals. That was around Christmas time, and a lot of people really enjoyed that and took a lot of benefit from that.
Yep.
And since then, we've continued doing all of those things, also providing a takeaway. And now that the weather's good, we're also providing some al fresco peer support gatherings in Brighton.
Yeah, perfect. So, with the 33,000 meals, like, that has been one of your biggest achievements. So, I mean, with the what the challenges you face currently with not only the last year, but what are the biggest challenges you've faced so far during this pandemic?
Sure. Of course, the biggest challenge is, you know, having provided that many meals, you know, to over 300 people, reaching more people than we ever had before. So the challenges have very often been logistical. So that's about, you know, not just preparing and packaging the food, but also getting it delivered to people, having volunteers. So a challenge that we've met really well is the fact that more people are becoming involved in volunteering, which has just been absolutely fantastic.
That's been
people with HIV and also people that are allies and support people with HIV. So that's been a challenge overcome. One of our biggest challenges really has been that of very similar with many charities, you know, that throughout the course of the year, particularly during the summer last year and around World AIDS Day, would have been our kind of key fundraising periods where we would have been selling food at festivals, undertaking other forms of fundraising. And of course, sadly, you know, COVID meant that we weren't able to do any of those things.
Yeah.
That funding kind of sustains our everyday work, really. So that was a challenge. But we're grateful to the support of the community. Many people made personal donations, which has been really helpful.
Yeah.
We had the continued support of the World AIDS Day concert, the groups and the choirs that take part in that. That was an online event this year. But sadly, we weren't able to take advantage of many of the large grants that large charities were able to. So, you know, as a small charity, it's been tough. But we're really grateful to everybody that has been able to support us.
Yeah. I think it's a case of, I think you really know who are there on the ground keeping it running and stuff like that. You certainly see people. I know when myself and Dee, we deliver for the Worthing Hub, sort of for Lunch Positive round in West Sussex. And we certainly see, like, your crew over there, and they're amazing. And I can see, you know, weekly we've built a rapport up with you guys. So it's been amazing. It really has.
Thank you. Yeah, and can I just say, it's been really, really good for us to be able to kind of, you know, expand our reach a little bit with you, you know, to support people who don't live in Brighton Hove and who live that, you know, live in other areas, which we've always wanted to do. And it's worked really well, hasn't it? It's, you know, we've been able to plan that well.
It's been a pretty good fit, hasn't it? Yeah, it's been a pretty good fit, and I think it's. I think also with the lockdown easing and returning to normal, I know we've been talking about doing some work with you over in West Sussex. What other plans have Lunch Positive got to, you know, to come out of this easing of the lockdown?
Sure. Well, we're planning within Brighton and Hove. Mm-hmm. We're planning a kind of a return to our usual services, so to speak. So slowly but surely, we're following the government roadmap. So in May, late May, we open the doors again for people to come along, have shared meals at the lunch club and our supper group. We're also going to provide from June onwards, when hopefully, you know, the emergence from COVID is fuller and we're all able to do more of the things that we were before.
Yeah.
From June, we're hoping to provide some other social activities, some of those based on people sharing meals together. Like, for example, we're going to have a monthly Sunday lunch.
Wicked. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And some other social activities that aren't necessarily food-based, but, you know, we just provide the opportunities for people to meet one another and actually you know, enjoy socialising.
Yeah.
But we're also going to continue a lot of the work that we've started during COVID. So we'll still continue our outreach food support, but that will be for people with different kinds of needs.
Sure.
And we're now involved in a really interesting and so far very successful befriending project for people with HIV as well.
I've heard about this. Talk to our listeners about that, because I, you know, it's a really great service.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's it's called the HIV Befriending and Buddying Service, and we're providing that in partnership with a local charity called Together Co.
Okay.
And the idea is that we are the point of access for people with HIV who are looking for people, you know, to be befriended. So people might have supportive phone calls with, or might want to meet to go for a coffee with, or, you know, or out for a walk. People that just want to find new friends and expand their friendship and support networks. And so we work with Together Co. People approach us if they're interested to be befriended. We then undertake an assessment of their needs and what they're looking for. And then we work with Together Co. to match them with a volunteer.
Oh, wow.
The volunteer is coordinated by Together Co. And then we jointly just make sure that match is going well, that people are hooked up, that it's all safe and supportive.
Yeah.
And so far, people have said it's a great service. People are taking a lot from meeting new people.
Oh, nice.
And just developing new friendships.
I think it's been hard, isn't it? Especially positive people can feel isolated socially, and especially with this last year going through the pandemic. I think I'm quite a social person, but it's really kind of, I think this last bit of lockdown has affected me more than the whole of last year. But yeah, it's definitely the isolation. I think that's going to be key, and it's getting people reintegrated into some kind of group setting, aren't they? So
absolutely. You're so right. It's really interesting to hear that, because I think you're right. You know, we probably all felt kind of, you know, lonely or alone at some stage or another. But, you know, I mean, this last year, and for many people, as you say, you know, particularly recently, that's really exacerbated those senses of loneliness for so many people, you know. And having friends and connections just makes the world a difference, doesn't it? So we want to do everything we can to kind of make that happen.
Yeah. No, totally. Honestly, it's... you guys are doing sterling work over there. You really are. It's amazing. So how do people get in touch with any of Lunch Positive support, or how do they key into you, or how? I mean, I know you're on Facebook. How else can they get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way is to look at our website. So just search for lunchpositive.org. That holds all the information. Also it's got contact forms and an email address, so people can use the website to directly contact us. Our email address is on there as well. That's info@lunchpositive.org.
Okay.
And for people that have got a good memory, I'm just about to tell you our phone number, which is also on the website, and our phone number is 07846 464 384. And people should just get in touch with us however best suits them. We want it to be easy for everybody. And also to note, of course, if people are having care through the local clinics, then the clinics will know about us, so they can either make referrals or they can help people get in touch.
Totally. And on Fridays, they can come in and get groceries and a hot meal. What time from? Is it midday?
From 12:30 at the moment. They'll be changing as the month, as May, we come into May and we open for longer and people come in to sit down. But yeah, at the moment, from 12:30 for a couple of hours, we're there. Hot meal, lots of food to take away, picnic tables in the park next door where people want to sit out outside and socialise. Yeah, it's all happening.
That's going to be great. Okay, so, like, obviously, you know, I know you, like, personally, and so what have you got any closing words to tell the listeners, you know, to just to support, really, just to support?
Sure. Well, firstly, one of our closing comments, I suppose, is that, you know, whilst we've been in touch with very many more people this year, we know there are lots of people still that we've yet to reach and we've not yet been in touch with. Yeah. So, firstly, just saying hello to all those people and hoping that, you know, if they feel they need for support or they want to become involved in something, they'll get in touch with us, because we always love to meet new people. I just wanted to reflect really on the tagline that one of our members used just before we had to close, before lockdown, in March last year, which we started to use more now. And he just said, when we were talking about Lunch Positive, he said, well, you know, it's all about community, which is kind of how we've lived and breathed our 12 years, and particularly this last year. So as it is all about community, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody in the community that supports one another and supports us. Thank you.
No. It's like, you, honestly, I know plenty of people over in Worthing that absolutely are so thankful to you, not only for the meals, but, you know, in the past 12 years, you've honestly created a definite sense of community for us and safety where it's needed. And, you know, it's you just do amazing work. You really do.
Thanks, Tony. I really appreciate you saying that. That means a lot.
Yeah, no worries. All right, well, you've got all the details. We'll put all the socials, etc., on the HIV Hour Facebook pages, Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for like spending a few minutes with me today, Gary, and just having a chat about the reopening of Lunch Positive and stuff.
You're welcome. It's been great.
Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you.
97.2 FM. Radio Reverb.
So that was a great interview, Tony, with Gary.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're doing some work with Gary, aren't you, with the Worthing Hub?
Yeah, we've got some, going to get some events done. I think there's 2 dinners and 3 afternoon teas. I think we're going between here and December. And also we are meeting, if anyone is affected with HIV or anything like that, contact me at the Worthing Hub. And we meet every Tuesday morning, groups of 6 only. And we do a virtual hub on Thursday and a quiz on Sunday. If anyone's interested, message.
That's great information about the Worthing Hub. Where can people actually contact you to get, you know, where to meet up, where to have a bit more information?
Sure. So either go on the Worthing Hub on Facebook. They can email me at theworthinghub@gmail.com or just call me on 07411-282080. And fabulous. I will, or contact them via your sexual health teams, either Rowlands Road or Lawson Richards. They'll know
fantastic.
About us.
Fantastic, brilliant. What a great show.
Yeah, great.
Good one.
Yes, good to see you. Well, virtually, obviously.
Virtually.
And we'll be back soon.
Yes, we will.
Virtually, yes.
Okay, and well, everyone, we'll see you soon.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.